Welcome to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Our passion is helping entrepreneurs publish, protect, and promote their intellectual property. This podcast is sponsored by Instant IP. And now, get ready for You Are an IP Company.
Are you an author? Listen, you can't afford not to listen to this. This is super important. New headline just came out in the last 24 hours. I'm going to read the headline. We're going to talk about it. Federal judge rules it's legal to train AI on copyrighted books, marking major win for AI companies. And I saw something about movies too. So, wow, Katie, have we crossed the threshold where creatives are no longer being protected? Entrepreneurs, authors, or maybe we're going to talk in this conversation about some potential wins, even though it might not feel like that. But what do you think when you first hear this headline?
Yeah, it's an interesting fact pattern here. So from what I can gather online, the material that was used to train the model was from a book that had been purchased. So the book was purchased. The book was then manually cut up and scanned into the computer. And that's the content that was used to train the model with. So I think that's an important distinction here, because the material was rightfully purchased. It wasn't pirated. So if, let's say, what we don't know the answer to here is if, let's say, you just went on the dark web or something and stole things, right, that you didn't pay for, and you used that to train a model with, I think the court would have a hard time saying that's fair use, because you didn't, purchase it. And when you have that, particularly with copyright law, when you have that first purchase, that's when you have this concept of the first sale doctrine and exhaustion, right? And that's where after you kind of first, after the first buyer of the copyright material, the copyright is then exhausted, right? Where then what you want to go do with that material, you're free to do, because you fairly bought that copyrighted content.
Interesting. And I'm looking at this article, which, by the way, is, folks, in Entrepreneur Magazine. Again, you can look at the title, search for it. Federal judge rules it's legal to train AI on copyrighted books, marking major win for AI companies. The subtitle says, this precedent-setting case is the first time a federal judge has sided with tech companies. You wonder, are they getting paid? Because in the article, it says that Anthropic is still going to trial for some it pirated, but the ones that it didn't pirate, as Katie just shared. And again, the judge ruled, there's this word, this famous word, transformative. So it says the judge ruled that because Claude's output was transformative, Anthropic was permitted to use the copyrighted works under the fair use doctrine. However, Anthropic still has to go to trial over the books it pirated. Anthropic has had no entitlement to use pirated copies. So this is interesting. Claude, of course, is making a ton of money, $20 to $100 per month per person. It made billions last year. And Reddit is suing Anthropic for training on its material. So, Katie, I know that some authors might be like, this is a bad thing, but let's look for the silver lining. What might be good in this?
Yeah, I'd say I think what's good here is that, at least pertaining to this, you know, purchase book, right? The content was purchased. So this ruling doesn't apply to non-purchase pirated material. So I think that's going to be a much harder battle to say that's fair use. So I think, though, it does, you know, in my mind, this kind of begs the question of, you know, I think it's interesting because there's such a shift nowadays away from traditional text print of materials, right? Right. Everybody wants digital, you know, books and things. So I think it's interesting to think about in this situation, you know, what are implications for authors and where do we go from here with our content delivery, right? Because it, you know, if it can just get grabbed and put into an LLM or something, you know, that can then go out to the masses.
Yeah.
Right. And so I think from creatives' perspective, this isn't the best ruling because it kind of cuts into their revenue streams here.
So I'm gonna share a negative and a positive. The Alchemist book, you know, which is super popular, the author compliments pirated books of his own copy in other languages as the one of the main reasons of success for his book to hit like a viral moment. So that's pretty interesting. Like, and you can Google this article. But the Alchemist author compliments pirated books because it went on to help his fame and i.e. book sales. But, and I'll share one other example and then we'll talk about why this doesn't have an exact apples to apples. Civil Wars is a band that gave away their first album or one of their albums for free. And again, they complimented. Now, they gave it away in this situation, but giving it away free added to their success. So what's different, though, Katie, in this situation is we don't know if the LLM is going to cite the pirated content or even the trained content. You see what I'm saying? Right. It's a big difference to be like, oh, I like this book, The Alchemist. Wow, I'm going to buy it so I have my own copy, or I'm going to tell my friends. But when you can't, when it, our book in the top right corner, you are an IP company. If this thing was pirated, which by the way, it, some of my books were pirated. There's a website called The Atlantic that shows where an author can enter their book and see if Meta trained on it. But in our situation, you and I spent a ton of time, ton of money writing this book. And now if it's put into an LLM mashed together, nobody knows who wrote it. It might reflect what we said. It might twist what we said because it blends other things. What do you think of that?
That's right. Yeah. And I think that's a real danger that we've seen already with LLMs, right? Where how do you have trust in what the LLM is outputting, but also what it's been trained on? And I think that's a great point, because if you have these pirated books, you don't even know if it's really the real representation of the book. And so that leads to issues. And then, you know, that gets content gets output. And that's too why we already see why some of the dangers of AI can be, you know, it can make you pick really bad, make decisions, bad decisions, because not all of what it trains on is accurate or even up to date too, because even if it's, you know, scraping data from publicly available sources, those change, and it's not always scraping, you know, every website every second to have real-time updates too.
So here's where I'm going to land on this, folks. Katie knows the story. Within the last 24 hours, I reached out to a very smart estate lawyer, Craig Hirsch out of Florida. And I said, hey, Craig, I got a big question. And I said, Craig, here's what ChatGPT said, or here's what AI said. And of course, Craig, who's been in law for decades, looked at that and said, in, you know, in 2 minutes, he said, that's true, but look at their final conclusion. Their final conclusion is completely messed up. And you bet I'm going with Craig, because I have no idea where AI found this. And that's exactly the point. It could have took this line and that line and that line. And now if people are making big decisions, because that's what it was based on, a big decision, a big financial and business decision. And if people are going to leave it up to LLMs to tell them what to do, there's a real risk. And so I feel like our book, You Are an IP Company, if somebody's just going to like enter, what should I do with IP? And then all of a sudden it starts pulling our data mixed with all kinds of other data, and somebody's going to make their future legacy asset decisions based on that. That's the danger. So I think it's almost like user beware.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think?
That's right. Yeah, no, and I think that's why too, like I see this all the time with founders who use AI to generate corporate documents. And when it gets to me, it's like, oh, this is so bad to now unwind this, you know, It's going to create a lot more hurdles than if you had just done it right from the beginning.
Wow.
So it's a real danger, you know, and yeah. I think we've seen that too when lawyers use ChatGPT and they cite case law that has never existed. And so it's dangerous, right? It's a tool that can help speed up some things, but I think you still need that human interaction to really look at it and review it and know that it's accurate.
I love it. So folks, if you're an author, I would say don't let this stop you from writing a book. In my opinion, anybody in today's world, you look at the freemium model. How did you become a PayPal user? In the beginning, they would give you $20. You got to use the app with a $20, send this to your friend, and they got. Same thing with Uber, free ride. We call this freemium models, lead magnets, lead generation. In other words, it's get the person used to the platform, the content. So I would say, if my stuff is being used as LLM, I could sit there and freak out and it could stall my creativity. I could worry about it. Or I could say, you know what? Things are going to point back to the company. And that's why at Igniting Souls, we literally say your book is not your business card. Your book is your business, which leads to other products and services up to 18 streams of income. So I say, you know what? Keep rolling. You can sit there, you can be scarcity minded, you can worry. I say, let case law figure it out. And you keep on creating, because there's always been, Katie, since the very beginning, infringers, copycats.
Absolutely.
This is just the latest.
This is the latest like tech way of this, right? It's always kind of how the copycats arrive and how they get it. It's always evolving. But I think this is just an example of the latest way, this is high tech way this is being done.
Yeah. And I think it even gives more credence to copyrights, trademarks, patents, instant IP. If there is no fence around your idea, it's very hard. I've quoted you so many times this week. Good fences make good neighbors.
That's right.
You say that in the book. I've heard you say it before. Good fences make good neighbors. If you do not put any fence around your IP, you're vulnerable. So at least a first fast layer, a timestamp, instantip.app, try it for free. But Katie, you know, I've contacted your law firm even this week for different things. Wiggins and Dana.
That's right. Yeah.
Yeah. And I just encourage you folks, like, don't leave it up to chance on big decisions. You'll pay a price. You won't be happy with it. It'll cost you more to do it the wrong way than to do it the right way. All right. Keep on creating, folks, and don't let AI stop you. Humans are valuable. They have unique thoughts. And last thing I'll say, Katie, they are doing brain scans now on people who only use ChatGPT. Have you heard this recently?
No, I haven't heard this.
It's amazing. Things begin to, it's like anything, muscles, right?
Yeah.
If you're not using your muscles, you don't use it, you lose it. Yeah, the atrophy. Yeah. So now they're starting to do brain scans of people who that is their go-to, ChatGPT, all this AI. And they're finding parts of their brains are now like shutting down. So I think AI is a tool. I think it can be overused. It's not the enemy. But I would just tell people, we need mentally sharp people as well.
That's right.
All right. Thanks for joining. See you next week.
Thank you for listening to You Are an IP Company podcast with Carrie Oberbrunner and Katie Rubino. Visit instantip.today for more help on your IP journey. Remember, your ideas are valuable. Protect them today.